excited to be here today. This series, for those of you who know or don't, maybe you don't know, but about this time, October, every year, since before we started the church, Richie and I sit down, we really pray, we really ask the Lord to give us wisdom on how to move forward with the new year, with the teaching schedule and what that looks like and sermon series and all that kind of stuff. We plan. The Bible says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps. So we plan, we do our part. But there have been times over the past 3 years where we felt like God really just, he wanted us to go in a new direction. And this was one of those series. We had something different planned for this month, and we were gonna call it Icon. We may still have that series one day, but it was gonna be all the big figures in the Bible. But as we really started to close out the summer, and we were fasting and praying, we really felt like the Lord just kept bringing this notion of watchmen. We kept hearing that in our prayers, and we kept seeing that in the Word. And so we really started praying, okay, Lord, what do you want for TCC? How do you want to prepare your people? And this thought of we need to be watchmen kept coming up. And so that's what's happening this month. We are talking about what it looks like to be a watchman, and we're going to be using some of the prophets in the Old Testament to kind of depict what they did and then how we feel like the Lord has called us to move forward as a church and as a community and really as a nation. And so I am excited to kick off this series with you today. If you are taking notes, this is called Watchmen, but my title is called Watch Your Motives or Guard Your Motives. And so we're going to talk about that and what that looks like. And historically, a watchman, if you're not aware, a watchman was in agrarian societies. Basically, what happened is they would build these cities, and then they would build a wall around it, and then they would commission or station guards to kind of watch over that city, both what happened inside the city and then what also was happening outside of the city. And they would watch and pan the horizon and see, and they would look out, and they had a different perspective than everyone else did. Because of their elevation, because of where they were, and because of what they were seeing, their view was different than what was happening down here. Just go with me. Their vision was different because of what they could see. They could see it all. They could see the city, but they could also see the horizon. What's coming up? I see that. And they were able to speak to that. And the Bible says sometimes they would sound an alarm. They would sound an alarm. Oftentimes that was a trumpet sound or something like that, and the people inside that community knew, man, if I hear that, I know exactly what I need to do. And so what we're hoping for and what we're praying for, what we're believing for as a community is that if we are watchmen, called to be watchmen, then if we sound an alarm, that there is all of heaven backing us as we present that, and that lives will be changed as a result of that, and that we're not just speaking on our own accord. I'm not saying something willy-nilly, but I've really heard from God when we talk and when we speak out, and we believe that, and we believe that for you. If you are a member of this community, if you are a body in the body of Christ, if you are a believer, we believe you've been called to be a watchman. And so what that means is we got to elevate our thoughts. We got to elevate our vision a little bit. We can't look here and expect to have change. We got to look here. We got to have a different perspective. And so that's what we're talking about. In Ezekiel 3:17, God says this. He says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them the warning." So the prophets were called to be a watchman, but we as believers are called to be a watchman. That means we got to study, we got to pray, we got to sit in his presence, and we got to hear from the Lord. When he speaks, we need to be obedient to that. Can I get an amen? Okay. All right. So let's pray before we get started, because I need Jesus. All right, Lord, we thank you for this day. God, I thank you that this is not me up here, that it's you. Lord, every word that comes out of my mouth, God, if it's easy, if it's hard, Lord, let it be from you, Father God, but let it be seasoned in love. Lord, let everything that I say and do today give glory and honor to you, Father God. Lord, we thank you that as this word is spoken, Father, that it is going to grow roots inside each one of us. And Lord, that fruit not only will be bore, but will remain. And we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, how many of you grew up with siblings? Raise your hand, siblings. Who's got siblings? Yes. So many people, I love it. Okay, so here we go. Siblings, when you would get in a fight or an argument and you would want to tell mom, this would be me. It was usually Deanna and I. Bubs and I are so far apart that I felt more like a mom to him than like a sister. So we really didn't fight. But for Ree and I, man, we went at it. We battled hard. Jenny's laughing back there because she knows she was our teacher. So, bless God. So, anyway, so when we would go at it and battle, I would be like, I'm telling mom. And I would run and tell mom. And I would be like, and she deserves a spanking for that. Right? Or, mom, seriously, she's got to get a timeout for this. Or, mom, can you just ground her, please? Or, you know, why? Why? Because we are conditioned that if we have been wronged, a punishment needs to happen. Come on, church. If we've been wronged, somebody's got to pay. Right? If I've been hurt, somebody needs to pay me restitution for what they did to me. Come on, church. This is our society. Everybody wants grace until it happens to them. Everybody wants to receive the love of Jesus until somebody hurts my feelings, and then I'm going to tell them about themselves. Come on, church. Listen, when I prayed for this message, I prayed the Lord would give me a rainbows and unicorn message. I prayed for it because I'm like, Lord, you know the last couple have been like, whoo, Jesus, I can't do it. But today, this message rising up inside of me, and it's this notion of not everything that I do deserves a punishment because Jesus paid it all. That means I don't have to walk in, Lord, get them. Because guess what? I deserved to be dead. I deserve to be dead in my transgressions, and I didn't deserve the grace and the freedom of God. But by his love and mercy, he ran after me and said, I want that one. In her mess, in her filth. And what do? Someone hurts my feelings. I want them to pay for that. Some of us in here, our justice seeking has caused us to be in total disobedience to God. Total. Because God is saying, hey, that person that you really hate, would you minister to them? Come on, guys. That person that you just blasted, would you be willing to go to them and say, hey, I messed up, and I love you, and I'm sorry, and we're believers, and that's not how we act. Would you be willing to do that? Or do we want a punishment? It's such a hard place in society right now. Because everybody wants freedom and love and grace, but nobody wants to let things go. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be punishment for actions. I get that. I totally get that. We regulate behaviors. That's why we have stop signs, because not everybody will stop. You know what I mean? Not everybody will stop. So we have to have boundaries. We have to have systems in place, and I get that. But what I'm saying, when Jesus came, he put away the law. And he said, if someone hits you on the cheek, turn the other one. When he said, hey, when that person says, hey, give me what you're wearing, you say, okay, do you want this as well? When someone hurts you and harms you, that you can walk in forgiveness, but you can say, I love you anyway, I'm going to pray for you. And if we can't get to that place in our relationship with the Lord, then we will not be used by God in this season. And this season, above every other season, and I don't know why, but every time I go to the Lord in prayer, I feel like I'm doing battle. Y'all, God has literally been waking me up at 3:30 a.m. I've been getting here to the church and doing battle and praying for you. Minds, faces, hearts, our community, the world. I feel it. I feel it. So when I'm coming to you today, it's not because I'm telling you something that I haven't been battling in the spirit. Because we got to battle in the spirit before we build it in the natural. We got to battle in the spirit before we can build it in the natural. That means my heart has to change. My motives have to change. My direction. I might be looking in this way, but the Lord's saying, hey, I'm actually over here. I'm actually over here. So I got to turn my attention to him. You know, when you take a picture on a camera, you take the picture, and if you're a good photographer, not like me, I stink, but if you're a good photographer, you zoom in and you focus on the one thing. Because when you take a picture and it's a lot of things all in the picture, it's not a natural view. I was watching this tutorial the other day on how to take pictures so you don't look like an idiot. And so I'm watching this tutorial, and that's what they were talking about on there, is how a lot of times photographers will just take a really wide shot, but really our natural eye is going to focus on one thing. And I think what happens is when we get our spiritual lenses messed up a little bit, we stop focusing on Jesus and we start looking to the side. And we say, oh, now I am mad. And Jesus is saying, hey, don't lose track. I'm right here. Don't lose focus. I'm right here. So we got to focus on Jesus. I want to read the first prophet we're going to talk about is Jonah. And this is funny because when Richie said, I want to talk about Jonah as the first prophet, I was like, okay, I know exactly what I'm going to talk about. I had this conversation with Genesis and Mom and Richie, and it was good. And I was like, yes, I'm going to have that conversation. And the Lord said, in my quiet time, I want you to read on further in the book of Jonah. I was like, well, what else is left? We know what happened, right? We know the story of Jonah and the whale, right? Okay, Jonah, the Lord asks him, I need you to go to this wicked city and tell them if they don't change their ways, I'm going to destroy the city. And what we know what happens, right? If you grew up in church, or even if you didn't grow up in church, you know the story. Jonah was what? Walked in disobedience, swallowed by a whale, spit him out on dry land 3 days later. He was obedient, and what happened? All of Nineveh changed. All of Nineveh repented and changed. And what we do is we say, good job, excellent, new book of the Bible. And the problem is we miss some key concepts in the scriptures because we only are focusing on and studying what we want to see instead of looking back and saying, okay, God, what are you asking me to see right now? And I want us to go to Jonah 3:10, and there's a trillion scriptures today, and I apologize for that, but it's so good, we have to read it all. So Jonah 3:10 says this, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. He didn't do it. He didn't destroy the city because they what? They repented and they changed. Chapter 4 says this, this change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord. Key in on this scripture, guys. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran to Tarshish. I knew you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. Why didn't they talk about this in Sunday school? Why didn't they say Jonah had a bad attitude? Why don't we know that part? Keep reading. Let's keep reading. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. I'd rather be dead if what I predicted. Come on, guys. Come on. If what I predicted. You know, sometimes we want the Lord to do what we want, and we don't want to walk in obedience because it's the opposite of what we want for those people. I'm going to keep reading. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. He's still hoping they get destroyed. Y'all, he's messed up. Okay. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. As soon as it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun, this eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. I'm just saying. A worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And then the sun grew hot. God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Y'all, he needs a spanking. Then the Lord said, and I'm sorry if you don't spank your kids. We spank our kids. I'm sorry, just don't call people on me. Okay, then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120 people living in spiritual darkness, 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention the animals. I didn't know animals could be in darkness, but there it is. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? And that's how the book ends. The book of Jonah ends just like that, with this guy mad because God did not enact his anger and his wrath and his punishment upon a people group. And I'm wondering today how many of us are angry and mad and upset because God is not enacting the vengeance that you want to see against a people group or against a party or against a political affiliation or against something else. That's what I'm wondering today. I'm wondering today how often we're getting hooked by this bait from Satan when God's calling us to look above that situation. I need you to look in a different place, watchman, because I've called you to see above all this garbage. I want you to look at me right now. And I'm concerned. I'm concerned about people who are getting caught up in stuff that's ruining our reputation. Instead of learning how to, instead of promoting a man, we're promoting the man. I'm concerned. Because we're stepping in stuff that God has not called us to step in. He has not. And he doesn't need us to fight his battles for him. You know what he needs us to do? Worship. Pray. Get in the word. Stop blasting people for stuff. Let it go. Turn the other cheek. I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that, Lord. I see it. I feel it. But what I need to ask right now is, Lord, why is that bothering me? What's the root cause of that bothering me right now, Lord? Because there's some healing that has to take place inside of me, and I need to know where that's coming from, because I see the enemy trying to work his way into my life in this way, and I want to be wise to the scheme of the enemy. Guys, come on. We gotta look above it. We got to look above it, church. And you know why this isn't a popular message? Because churches want it. We want you to vote for who we want you to vote for. We want you to get involved with this organization or that organization. And you know what God's saying? Just be obedient to me. Just be obedient to me. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to direct your steps. But instead of cursing your enemies, how about you pray for them? How about the person that's despitefully used you? You pray for them. Get in your prayer closet daily. Right now, I'm telling you, the enemy is working overtime. He is working overtime. Richie and I had this conversation the other day. I said, honey, how long do you think the enemy was working on 2020? Seriously. When you think about it from that perspective, how long has this joker been working on this year? I would venture to say at least 100 years. Because we could go back to 100 years ago and we could see sin start to creep in that has become so big to this day that nobody knows how to get control over it. Well, I'm telling you this, the only way we can get control over it is repent. That's it. We got to get at the feet of Jesus and we got to say, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins of my past, but I'm to the third and fourth generation. I'm covering those in the blood of Jesus, and I'm taking back those strongholds, and I'm going to take back all that stuff that was intended to trip me up and set me back, because I'm taking all of that back. And for some of us, we got to look above, because right now this is where we're looking. I see what's happening here. I see what's happening here. And the Lord's saying, I'm telling you, that's not what's going on. This is what's actually happening. And we got to tear some stuff down in the spirit realm. This is the question that I kept hearing. Misty, when was the last time you prayed for the church that hurt you? Dang it. Man, I hate it when he comes at me like that. When was the last time you prayed for the leader that failed you? When was the last time you prayed for the spouse that betrayed you? He didn't betray me, but you know what I'm saying. When was the last time? When was the last time you prayed for the parent that abandoned you? When was the last time you asked me, Misty, Lord, where in my heart is there hate? And where do I need to submit my passion to you? Because we can be passionate about some stuff because it has to do with our shadow and because it has to do with the things that I've gone through and it has to do with my environment, but it's not what the Lord has asked me to be passionate about. I could be driving the horse one way and the Lord's saying, Miss, I don't want you in that because over there is an actual trap of the enemy. And here's where I've called you to stand. Here's where I called you to live. For some of us, we got to go there. We got to ask the Lord. And the reason being is because while we were yet sinners, that means the people that I am angry at and cursing and mad and so upset with, while they are still in that mess, God is saying, if you would just reach out to them in love, I'm telling you, it's going to break chains. It's going to set them free, but you got to reach out in love. And for some of us, we're so angry, I'm not reaching out to anybody. They got to come to me. You want to know about Jesus, you got to come to me. We don't say it, but we act like that. And the posture of our heart is, I'm guarded, I'm saved, and I'm sorry you're not. And if we expose it for that, and we expose the enemy for who he really is, and listen, this is a hard message, but I'm telling you, church, if we could just look above and be those watchmen that he's called us to be, I'm telling you, there are 120,000 people who are in your circle who God said, if you'll just submit it to me, I'm going to save them. I'm going to save them, and I'm going to heal them, and there's going to be 120,000 people in heaven because of you. But you got a pity party. I want you to kill them, Lord. Kill them. And God's saying, I want them in heaven with me. Where are we? Where are we? What is our attitude towards people? Is it love and mercy and grace? Do we know that about Jonah? Is that why we're not willing to say, man, I love you. I love what Chris said last time he spoke. And I think it was like in June when we did Real Talk series. My pants are falling down, y'all. Cut that off the tape. I'm running around too much. When Chris talked and he said, I have friends that believe very differently than I do, but because I love them so much, I'm willing to say, hey, listen, let's put aside our differences and let's just love each other. And man, that broke down something inside of me where I was like, Misty, how often do you do that with people? Are you just so firm on this is what I believe and that's what you believe? Am I willing to love people no matter where they are? Because Christ loved me right in the mess that I was in. And while I was still a sinner, he died for me. Some of my motives, ideologies, justice seeking caused me to be in some of the biggest places of disobedience with God. Because of what I thought. Because of the plans that I had. Because of the way that I was raised. And because of the things that I had done and my past. You take all of that into consideration, and that makes up Misty Sarlo. My past, what I'm currently going through, and what I believe about my future, that makes up who I am. But do we all live like we are, our past is erased, our sins are forgiven, and we have a new nature in Jesus? If we don't live like that, then we just need a little course correction. That's it. We just need a little course correction. And the enemy will do everything he can to beat you down and to make you feel like you've done everything wrong and all this stuff is wrong and blah, blah, blah. And let me tell you this. He's a liar. Just put him in his place. Just put him in his place and just say, hey, listen, I may have messed up, but guess what? Jesus' grace covers over that. And because of his grace and his mercy, I don't have to walk in condemnation, but I can walk in who Christ has called me to be. And so I may have to apologize, I may have to retract, I may have to say I'm sorry, but at the same time, I'm willing to do it because your life is worth more than my feelings. Your life is worth more than my motive. It's worth more. And when we live out of love for one another, and this is the hard part about being a Christian, because I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives inside of me. And if I live out of that, if I live out of that, then we will see people get saved. We will see our nation repent. We will see lives changed. We will see churches full. We will see people giving stuff over to the Lord that they were like, man, I was in bondage for years. But because someone loved me in my mess, I was able to see the grace of a Savior. Come on, church, that's what he's called us to do. Here's our warning for the watchman. And if you guys want, you can throw that slide right up there. It says, number one is this: ask the Lord to purify your motives and soften your heart. So this is it right here. Every single day, Lord, purify my motives and soften my heart. You want to pray a dangerous prayer? Ask the Lord to show you your motives. Ugh, don't do it if you're not ready. Because about 3 years, 2.5 years ago when we launched the church, this was me. I want to network. I want to connect because I'm building something. I'm building something. I'm networking. I want to connect. I'm building something. And the Lord really spoke to my heart and said, why are you doing that? I'm building the church, not you. Talk about a spanking. That's a spanking from God in a nice Jesus way. But he was like, hey, I didn't ask you to do that. And so you're doing all this stuff and you're running around, you want to throw up and you're busy and you're crazy and beating your kids and yelling at your husband and you're nuts because I didn't ask you to do that and there's no grace there for that. All I asked you to do is sit with me. Let me build it. Because when I build it, it doesn't have cracks in it. When I build a firm foundation, you can stand on it. And it will last the test of time. And there won't be failure, moral failure. And there won't be issues of financial indiscrepancies because I'm building it. I'm laying a different foundation. I'm doing something new. And so I had to, okay, Lord, I see you. So then I said, okay, well, show me my motives. If I do something wrong, show me my motives. I feel like for a full month, I was like, okay, no more. Because I'm nasty on the inside. Like, don't show me. You know what I mean? Like, I'll pay for this. And the Lord's like, why you pay for him? Because I want him to like me. You know? Come on. Look at Richie. Richie's like, don't pay for him. All right, so the first thing that we're going to do is every single day we need to sit with the Lord and we need to ask him to purify our heart and our motives, number one. Number two, we need to be obedient. Jonah, if he calls you to go, go the first time. Don't get swallowed by a fish, have a worm eat your life away. You know what I mean? Just do what he's asked you to do, okay? Be obedient. The third thing is this: pray for mercy and grace. Because those things, sometimes in the waiting process, we can start trying to activate our will. Lord, I'm not seeing you move in my timing, so I'm going to need you to do. Okay, so let me start talking to that person. I'm telling you, if you ask the Lord for mercy and grace, he will show you how to sit. Because a lot of times in that waiting period between what we pray for and what we see happen, the end result of that grace period, that waiting period, we try and make stuff happen. There's no grace if you make it happen. So we start birthing Ishmaels. Number four, put a guard over your mouth. Put a guard over your mouth. Let me go to Jude 1, 20 through 23. It says this: but you, dear brothers, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sin that contaminates their life. A couple of weeks ago, last week maybe, I talked about this in team rally, that the Lord had given me a vision of a black, disgusting, muddy, gross sea. And I saw all people that I some I knew, some I didn't know, as far as the eye could see here. And we were snatching people out of this disgusting pit. But as we were snatching them out, they were immediately clean. It wasn't like mud was still hanging off of them. They were clean. And then they got in line, and they started snatching people. And the Lord said, that's how I've called you to be in this season. Snatching people from the jaws of hell and from the flames of hell, not worried about what this person's doing or what that person's doing on social media. Focus on what the mission is right now. The mission is, and always has been, snatching people from hell. That's always been our mission. Psalm 141:3 says this, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Everybody's getting, where's my guy? When you leave today, you guys know I like visuals. Mom and Mia made these for me yesterday. So depending on if you're a guy or a girl, if you're a girl, these are teeth whitening strip things. You know what I'm talking about. If you're a dude, these are for sports. Okay, so everybody's leaving with one of these today. And it says this. Set a guard over my mouth. That's our warning. It's our visual. In behavior change, we call these cues to action. So when I see that, I know, man, I need to put a guard over my mouth. If I have this in my mouth, I cannot talk. But I can pray. I can pray. So you'll put this in your mouth. Your kids will come and talk to you, be like, not right now. Man, don't tease me. Sometimes I might put it in just so I don't have to talk to it. No, I can't right now. But seriously, in all seriousness, we have to put a guard over our mouth and a watch gate over our heart so that everything that we say and do, so that we are known by our love for one another. Because in this season specifically, I feel like the Lord is asking us as a church, and he's saying, will you be known by your love for one another, or will you just be words? Will it just be empty, clanging, loud noises, or will I actually do what the Lord has asked me to do in this season? Am I willing to put feet to faith? My sister-in-law, Melissa, bought this for me for my birthday. She knows I love, if you come in my house, you're bombarded with scripture verses and you are loved and this and that. And I love it. I love that constant affirmation of who God is. Constant. When you leave my house, it says, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. But will we be known by our love for one another? Or will we be known, Christians, hypocrites? Because that's what's on the line. Like Proverbs says, a good reputation is more profitable than silver or gold. Am I willing to trade my reputation as a follower of Christ because I want to prove a point? Am I willing to sacrifice my relationship with my spouse because I want to be right? Or am I willing to say, you know what, Lord, he's yours anyway. He belongs to you. So change my heart. Teach me to love. Man, that's where it really, honestly, that's the hard work. That's the hard work of a believer. And that's why a lot of people don't want to do it. That's why a lot of people are running away in this season instead of running to Jesus. But guess what? We're going to be the church. We're going to be the community that's going to say, no, no, I see what the Lord's doing, and I'm on it, God. I'm on it. Oh, I'm sorry y'all are participating in that. I don't have time for that. I'm doing God's work right here. I don't want to be caught doing jumping jacks when everybody else is doing push-ups. That's embarrassing, just so you know. So we're going to be people that are going to do what God has asked us to do. We're going to walk in love. We're going to submit our own will. And we're going to remember what he saved us from. Because when we live out of that place, we can't help but love people. As dark and as nasty as some people are, we can't help but love them when we think of what we were saved from. And I promise you, if you leave this place today and you remember, man, Lord, you have sent me to a people that I may not agree with, but if I just submit myself to you and show them that your arms are still open wide, I'm telling you guys, there is people that the Lord wants to see come to salvation because of your actions, full of love. And I believe that. Let's stand. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that it does not return void, but that it accomplishes everything that it has set out to do. And so today, as we leave this place today, God, I pray that we would be so filled with love for people, God, that we would be so filled with love that where there was hate, that you're replacing that with love. And where there was disunity, you're replacing that with peace. And where there was discord, you're replacing that with your love, Father God. And I just thank you for that today in Jesus' name. I thank you for each heart that is hearing and seeing this word today. God, change us. Lord, instead of praying for other people to be changed, God, change us. Change us, God. Lord, teach us to love when it's not fair. Teach us to love when it doesn't feel right, but that we're willing to step out and say, you know what? Nobody else ran after me, but Jesus did, and I'm going to run after you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here today, God. I thank you for your presence. And Lord, as we worship out of this place today, God, I just pray that you would solidify what you have spoken to each one of us, God. Lord, don't let us leave the same, God. Condition us to change. Lord, don't let us be so set in our ways that we can't change by the power of your Spirit, God. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.